Holland, were you a little surprised at the scripture reading you read this morning? A little bit? The start of today's scripture reading is startling and confusing and upsetting to many people, because it appears as though Jesus is telling us that if we really want to follow him, we have to hate our mothers and our fathers, our brothers and sisters, our own life, in order to follow him. How many of you being confirmed would be being confirmed today if you had to be confirmed to hate those closest to you? And yet those words are in Scripture. And that doesn't make any sense to us, because the summary of all the commandments of Jesus is love. When Jesus was asked, what's the most important commandment? If you didn't have any Scripture, what do you need to know? And you know what he said exactly. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. Love is what it's all about. And in this church, we talk about how when you are determining what you're going to do or not do, what you're going to say or not say, you do it in light of asking yourself the question, through this action, through these words, am I loving God? Am I loving my neighbor? Am I loving myself? And if the answer is yes, then that is a very legitimate action or words to say. But if the action is no, we refrain from it. And so how can it be that we are told here that we have to hate in order to follow Jesus? Well, you'll remember that we have talked about how Scripture wasn't written in English. It was actually written in Greek and Hebrew and Aramaic and then translated into English. And each of the words in the Greek and Hebrew and Aramaic have a number of English words that could be chosen for translation, which is why we have a variety of translations of the Bible. In this particular case, the Greek word for hate actually means to love less. In other words, Jesus is telling us that if we really want to follow him, if we really want to have wholeness in life, if we really want to make a difference in the world, then we must love less everything else in our life and seek to put God first. That doesn't mean that we don't love those other things. It's about love less. And here is the beauty of the matter. When we seek God first, then we have within us the ability to love others and to love ourselves more deeply and fully. As we prepare to deal with the rest of our scripture, let us prepare in prayer. God, as we hear your words read and shared, open our ears, help us hear. Open our minds, give us a glimpse of the divine. And open our hearts that we might be formed and changed by your message. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen. Okay, right now I want you to forget that you're in a church and pretend that you are in an airplane on a nonstop flight to Asia and you hear this announcement. Ladies and gentlemen, this is your captain speaking. We're now traveling across the Pacific Ocean. In a few hours, you'll be able to look down and see land. When that happens, we're going to start looking for a big city that has an airport. And if we find one before our fuel runs out, we will land, and then we'll figure out where we are and decide where we want to go next. In the meantime, folks, just sit back, relax, and enjoy your flight. Are you going to have a relaxed flight? Wouldn't you strongly prefer that someone had planned ahead? Well, Jesus believed that it is just as serious of a matter for us to plan for our lives. And so on the occasion of today's scripture lesson, Jesus said to his followers, read it with me. Suppose one of you wants to build a tower. Will she not first sit down and estimate the cost to see if she has enough money to complete it? Or suppose a king is about to go to war against another king. Will he not first sit down and consider whether he is able with 10,000 men to oppose the one coming against him with 20,000? You see, what Jesus was doing in this scripture story is he's asking us to reflect on our lives and not simply react to our lives. You see, there is a big difference between reflecting and reacting. When people live a reactive lifestyle, they don't plan their lives, they don't reflect on their purpose and the means they take to achieve that purpose. They simply react to events as they unfold. They simply get overwhelmed and even hysterical. Failing to plan, the old adage says, is planning to fail. And that is true whether we are talking about succeeding at school, building a business or career, becoming an accomplished musician or athlete, fostering relationships, or growing faith. Jesus offers us these powerful words about sitting down before you build a tower or before you engage an enemy, because Jesus knows that planning makes all the difference in the world and can keep us from being foolish in our actions. And then when things go wrong, it can help us know what to do even in the midst of that. Don't we all come to church and gather here because deep in our hearts, we want to make our lives account for something? Don't we want to fulfill our dreams and have a purpose in the world? So where do we begin? There's a book called Life Focus by Jerry Foster, and it introduces us to an interesting concept. He calls the concept life wealth. Life wealth refers to each of the four important areas of our life: our finances, our health, our relationships, and our spiritual life. These are our assets. All four are necessary for our well-being. How do you want to live your life? Asked Foster. Do you desire your relationship with your parents and sibling, your spouse and children, to grow closer and stronger? Do you want to leave a rich legacy of material and non-material resources for others? Do you hope that your friends and coworkers are filled with gratitude for your contribution to their life and how you make them feel? And do you want to live a life that sustains you, that inspires you in daily living, that strengthens you to overcome obstacles and gives you hope and a vision not only for now, but for all of eternity? If you answer yes to these questions, then you need a plan to make that happen. Foster suggests a very practical plan, which he calls the vector principle. Here, in essence, is the vector principle. Suppose an airplane is flying to Europe, and somehow, right at the beginning of the flight, is knocked off course just a few degrees. As it keeps flying, that little discrepancy in direction is amplified over time and distance, and so it is that the plane doesn't arrive in Europe at all. It arrives somewhere in North Africa. Just a few degrees off at our start of origin produces a large variation in our final destination. Now let's apply this vector principle to our own lives to understand how small changes in one part of our life can make major life-affecting results later in life. Let's say that a person at age 35 decides to jog 2 miles every day, and she keeps doing this day after day. Can you see what this small change in this person's lifestyle, how it might have major ramifications for her health 35 years later? A small change with major consequences. The same might be said for taking up walking 2 miles every day at age 60 or 70. And can you see how putting aside $100 each month into a mutual fund when you are 35 can produce significant income when you reach retirement age? A small change, but the rewards can be significant. Some of us are much younger or much beyond 35, but it is never too early or too late to begin sound financial practices. And what might happen if you began today finding a way daily to pay more attention to your parents, your spouse, your children, or a friend? Might it not strengthen that relationship permanently, help you live without regrets? And then there's our relationship with God. What would it mean for your spiritual life if you began spending a little time each day in prayer and attention to God, listening and looking for God's presence and guidance? The vector principle. Small, doable changes at one point in your life which produce major life-altering results later in life. To make your life more pleasing to God, a greater blessing to others, and increasingly satisfying to yourselves, sometimes all it takes is a small change in your daily routine. And so, confirmation students, congregation, I challenge you on this day to begin making small deposits in your life wealth account. Take a look at each of those four areas of your life, your finances, your health, your relationships, your faith. And what is one thing you can do to improve each of those areas? Today could be a very significant day in each of our lives if we would change our life just a few small degrees. Today is Confirmation Sunday, a day when our young people are making choices about their faith, are publicly acknowledging their faith, are confirming the vows that were made for them at their baptism. They are making the covenant to take responsibility for practicing their own faith. And at the same time, they're giving each one of us the opportunity to take a look at what it means to us to be in relationship with God, what it means to grow in faith. Listen now to expressions of faith that come from God inspiring our confirmants' hearts and minds and speaking through them. Here are some of their beliefs about God. I believe God is my Savior. He is always with me and always helps me when I need Him the most. He is also a part of me. I believe that everyone has a part of God in them, even if they don't want to believe in Him. I believe God loves all people, no matter their size, color, ethnicity, etc. He will always be with you no matter what. I believe God is always there for you, even in the darkest times of life. God will guide you through every step of the way. God is a healer. God is trustworthy and wise. I believe God is the true meaning of love. God does not care about race, gender, sexuality, religion, or choices you make. God will always love and accept you as yourself, a whole person. I believe that God is interpretable as any gender and doesn't need to be confined to the traditional he we give God. The young people also talk about faith in Jesus Christ with these words. I believe Jesus is the one true friend who will never turn his back on anyone of any culture, belief, or sexual orientation. Jesus is a savior of all and the teacher of God's lessons. Jesus is on earth then and now to teach lessons of kindness and compassion. Jesus is the protector of the people who have too little, people of poverty, and people who need someone to talk to. Jesus is my friend and always will be. I believe Jesus was born on earth and died for our sins. I believe Jesus made the ultimate sacrifice to proclaim his love for us. I believe Jesus is present to provide hope and love in a time of hopelessness. I believe Jesus came to earth in human form to lead us toward a life with God. I believe Jesus is my friend. People search to find God. Our confirmation students guide us in this journey as they express, I believe the Holy Spirit is a breath of life. I understand it to be a gentle representation of God and Jesus inside of everyone. I believe the Holy Spirit leads us in the right direction and is part of our conscience. I believe the Holy Spirit is God's Spirit inside of us, helping us to do the right thing. I believe that the Holy Spirit is always with us and is an encouraging presence. It's a part of us where we have our feelings and conscience. Our confirmation students talk about that special community of faith that God creates among people of faith, describing it by saying, I believe that church is a place to go to solve any troubles. I believe church is a place that accepts everyone, no exceptions. I believe that church is a place of love and safety. It is a discrimination-free zone where everyone can feel safe and welcome to worship. I believe the church is a place where people feel safe. We talk in church about being followers of Jesus Christ, disciples. Listen as our confirmation students talk to us about this interesting concept called discipleship. I believe that a disciple is someone who follows Jesus. Being a disciple is about following in Jesus' steps. It involves serving, being willing to love and help others, forgiving, celebrating others, and making good choices. I believe that being a disciple is helping those in need, and not just believing, but following the lessons of Jesus. There are other statements our confirmands made, statements about stewardship. I believe stewardship is making the most of your talents. It is helping others in many different ways. I believe stewardship is taking the qualities within ourselves and using them to help others and care for the world. And finally, our confirmands share with us thoughts on mission. I believe mission and service is all about helping people who need help. I think everyone has a purpose in life. If you don't have a purpose, you don't have a mission. God loves everybody and gives everyone a purpose. I believe life is one continuing, ever-changing mission. We are here to help all in need. I believe mission is our purpose in life. Mission is helping those who are sick and in need. Everyone needs to have a mission. Mission is an awesome goal we work toward. Mission shows how much we care for the world. Friends, think about your own life. On this confirmation day, think especially about your faith development, your spirituality, your soul, the one thing that is going to last forever. Where are you headed? What will it take to get you where you need to go? And where is God leading you? Start today making the small changes that are necessary to get you there. And know that God and your church will help and support and encourage and guide you. May it be so. Amen.